Good evening and welcome to another special edition of Penalty Spot. On today's program, as the Coca-Cola Premier League remains suspended, we examine some major developments in the region, particularly in Trinidad and Tobago. We bring you the latest in the standings in the Youth Cup and also all of the developments on the international scene. Penalty Spot in association with the Barbados Football Association and Coca-Cola. And welcome back to the program. Alongside me this evening, Curtis Hines and the president of the Barbados Football Association, Randy Harris, also president of the Caribbean Football Union. And gentlemen, I'm not sure what Randy has been doing all night long now. It's no football to watch. Good evening, Randy.
Good evening. And good evening to everybody listening to us today.
Yeah, good evening, Randy. As Paul would have said, good evening, Barbados. Special times, no football all weekends, no English Premier League, no La Liga, Bundesliga, no sport full stop going on. Still lots of sporting news coming up, but no live sport. I'm Randy. I mean, 2020, we could not have foreseen this even in our wildest imagination. What's the latest from the BFA standpoint moving forward?
You're absolutely correct. I was looking at 2020 to be a real special season for the BFA, but you know, the situation is one that we definitely don't have any control over.
And in terms of games, of course, everything remains on hold until we get the all clear from government, whenever that does happen.
Yes, we are not playing any games at all. You know, I am not unduly worried, because I believe that sometime this situation will go away and we will be able to resume our action. Don't forget, we have a pretty packed international schedule for this year. And, you know, we'll just wait it out and hopefully things will fall into place.
From the outside looking in, I would imagine, as a just an observer looking in, that the accounts department must be wondering, oh, wow, what are we going to do? How are we going to mitigate this situation? I mean, how do you even begin to look at something like that when you have upwards of 10 national teams? I mean, no gate receipts.
Well, to be quite fair, we are getting some assistance from both FIFA and CONCACAF,
okay,
in terms of travel and accommodation. And, you know, we have to do what's right at this time. And I think the right thing to do is to give our players an opportunity to be exposed to the world. And I believe that if we can do that and, you know, it can work, it will help the game here in the future.
I've been reading lots of international articles. I saw one, I believe it was pretty optimistic, that football could resume in May in Europe behind closed doors.
Yeah.
What have you been hearing about this behind closed doors football? Not just pertaining to Barbados, but at the CFU and perhaps CONCACAF level.
Well, in the UK, the EPL has enough finances really to be able to put something in place to finish the season. They also have obligation to their sponsors, and especially to those people with TV rights. I mean, they're thinking business.
Yeah.
And it is possible that they may have all of the equipment to be able to play the game without spectators.
Okay.
The thing about it is that that doesn't really shake them a lot, because these TV rights is where this money is, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that they're going to do everything to make sure that the season is completed.
Okay. We had about, if I'm not mistaken, about 6 rounds of our local season here, 6 or 7 match weekends,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. Bigger league, as you would have mentioned, 4 teams set to be demoted. As it stands with the temporary halt, are you happy with the league thus far, both in terms of quality of play I know we're never going to be satisfied with spectators. We always want more.
Yeah.
But are you happy that the teams now have stepped up to the bar and made the Premier League what it should be, the best level of football in the country?
Well, I believe that you are speaking strictly on the game. There's some nice things that happened this year, and one of them is that when you look through all of the teams, we have a lot of players under 20 playing at the highest level and competing at the highest level and performing at the highest level. I think that is a feather in the cap for us since we started this Future Tridents program about 4 years ago.
Okay.
What you are seeing now are the fruits of that program. They were trained by the technical director and his staff, and it was a move really to get them more professionalized in their attitude and their standard of play. And it seems to me, because they're looking very outstanding in all of the teams this year, and it looks to me like if that is a message that these youngsters are performing and behaving in a way that makes the game more professional.
What I've been very impressed about when we look into the stands in particular is that we have a younger demographic of football fans. We're seeing the early 20s, the teenagers are coming out to football, and for any sport to survive, you need new faces.
Right, of course, that is a spin-off, because these young players, don't forget, they have ranking among their peers.
Sure.
And they're able to, get their friends, encourage their friends to come and see them play. And of course, while that is happening, these youngsters are the future fans of football, because they're going to grow with the players. And that is a very, very good thing.
I can tell you from first-hand knowledge, the Youth Cup, when the young players get a taste of the turf as well, they're very, very keen to come back, everyone, because what has happened now is that a lot of players and fans through the youth competition have been exposed to the Wilde facility. They would have driven past it before, and now everyone is keen to have a time to shine.
Right, because that is the place to play.
Yeah.
That is the place to play. That is where you get your recognition, right? And I am very, very happy to see those young players competing and outshining some of the veterans.
Of course, we're taking your calls, 4341798. You can also reach us, 18sports246@gmail.com. We have to speak about some regional football, but before we head in that direction as well, Randy, the Division 1 competition had a word with a couple of the teams, a couple of the players, and from what I've been told, it seems to be even more competitive this season as everyone now tries to get a spot in the Premier League, also with four teams set to be demoted from the Premier League.
Yes, I think the thing here is that four teams are being promoted.
Yeah.
So everybody have to be on the P's and Q's, because it could be any four.
Yeah.
And that augurs for a better competition. And I am really sorry that we had to stop it at this time, suspend it. But we can look forward to seeing some of these first division clashes at the turf.
Okay.
On Sundays, exposing them to the public of Barbados, because that's the next level, right? They're aiming to come to the Premier League, and we want to expose them to the level that they will have to play at next year.
We're going to get Randy to put on his other hat, CFU hat now, Randy.
Good evening once again, and welcome back to the Penalty Spot in association with the BFA and the Coca-Cola. We spent a lot of time speaking about the domestic game, Paul. No football, lots of activity still going on. I'm sure following the completion of the current pause, the training courses would resume for the referees as well, Randy, and lots more still in store. National team goes back to training ahead of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Hopefully, these things will all come to fruition sooner rather than later, in a safe manner, though, of course. Yes,
of course. Once we get the okay from the government and the Ministry of Health, whenever that happens, we would just resume all of our programs.
Okay.
One of the biggest talking points in the interim, I should say one of the biggest developments over the past week around the region has been FIFA's takeover of the administration of football in our neighbors, Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. And the, I guess the background to that story we've been hearing over and over again, and the President William Wallace and has announced after it happened that they're challenging it in the Court of Arbitration for Sport. That's the highest court. And was questioning why such drastic action was taken, considering the move was not made against the last administration of John Williams. And the executive, the debt, I'm reading, is about $50 million TNT dollars. That's about $7 million or $8 million US. And well, that administration, the new administration, would have taken over last November. Just a little bit of the background to that. And Randy, I see you've been making some comments in Trinidad. I'm not sure if you can go back.
No, the way that you put it to the public, it seems that FIFA is going to run out the current administration and install their people, meaning Europeans or Americans or somebody to run football in TNT. The facts are that all of us play. All of us receive significant funds from FIFA annually. And if we are receiving those funds, taking into consideration the history between 2016 and 2010, FIFA would expect that the people using their funds to account for it. And so they put a clause, wisely so, that they have the power to come in and sort out business so that the game can progress. The thing with Trinidad and Tobago at this time, the FA, is that they lost a court case to Kendall Waltz, who was a former technical director.
Yes.
And the ruling of the court was that he is free to remove all funds coming to the Trinidad and Tobago until his suit is satisfied. No organization can run under those conditions, because it means that any kind of financial help will be going to him first, and it's quite a significant amount. FIFA is not going to send money there that they cannot use for a game.
Okay.
So the next best thing would be to clear the slate of the TNT and bring in Trinidadians, right, who are skilled, legal, financial, and administration. And those would be Trinidadians to run the association until such time as they are able to have it on an even keel. It happened with
Ghana. Yeah.
When I came in 2012, a mobilization committee was running football, and they continued until 2015. And then FIFA, they had elections, and somebody new ran the association.
One of the angles I've seen coming out of the papers in Trinidad, you see something new every day, is that one of the major grosses that the former administration, because at this stage the former administration has, is that the interim committee is allegedly being run by a former accountant who was affiliated to one of the previous MAs.
But that has not happened.
Okay.
That has not happened. But I know, I understand where you're coming from. And the thing is that one can say that FIFA could have moved in a while back, since 2012.
Okay.
Because since Jack Warner left the association, He is claiming that the association owes him $13 million TT dollars.
Wow.
Right? And that has been going on. Right? When I came, Mr. Tim Key, God rest his soul, he was the president, and he was speaking about all of this money that he had to find to satisfy his debt. And then it went to Mr. John Williams. John Williams, because the government gave Trinidad and Tobago FA access to a stadium, he built a hostel, a hotel, and dormitories on the site, expecting that would be able to be a money earner for the TNT FA. No, the new people that came in shut it down immediately. Apparently, it had some faults. When I say faults, the fire service did not okay the building for certain things.
Okay.
Which could have been fixed.
Yeah.
Right? But they shut it down. They shut it down because they don't care about the people that playing football. They can care about the game. They care that they don't want nothing to do with the former administration. That is boyishness.
Yeah.
When they could have taken it over, repair or fix all of the things that needed to be done and start using it as a money earner.
Which is ironic too, because I saw stories about where the former administration, which was removed last week, is saying, you know, that they had a plan to build such a facility in Arima.
Yes.
Which would be a money earner.
And it was denied by the borough of Arima. They're coming with these grandiose
that was an embarrassment
stories. And none of them, you remember they had the sponsorship from Nike?
Yes.
Right? And that was a farce. And they just speak about these things all the time. And then they always get denied by the second party.
Would you say what's happening in Trinidad now is spilling over more into the CFU, where you now have to out some fires where there's perhaps a Trinidad faction versus everyone else, which is saying, okay, hold on, what's really going on here?
I don't know. I don't know that is the case.
Okay.
Because all of the MAs are aware. It is not like FIFA pulls something out of the bag that has not been done before, or something that we are not aware that can be done.
Okay.
To the MA. We all know you're playing by the rules. FIFA has not moved the goalposts on us. Any of us could install a normalization committee. Any of us. And it was done in Guyana and Guatemala, which is in our region, CONCACAF. Mm-hmm. They just came off and Dominican Republic.
One of the things that I saw you mention, Randy, in terms of the going forward, was calling on the associations across the regions to develop programs to become more self-sufficient, not having to depend totally on FIFA money.
Yeah, well, I always give this similarity. We in the Caribbean, more than anybody else, should know and understand that we have to find ways to be self-sufficient. We had this agreement, Larry, with the British for sugar, and the rest of us in the Caribbean for sugar and bananas, and all of a sudden,
no agreement,
it was stopped.
Okay.
Right? And what happened? Scrambling around. Up to this day, we're scrambling. You understand? So I always look at that as an example of what could happen when you believe that you could just wait and get a handle. Right? Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for what FIFA is doing for all its members. But I think the time has come where I should be using that money for serious development for football. Right? So the more self-sufficient I get, I will be able to handle my local situation staff, administration, pay the bills, and make some young people in Barbados real happy by training them and by giving them exposure, because playing at a higher level is the only way that they will be able to improve. Because don't forget, the French telling them how bad they are, that they could play real good.
Yeah.
Are calling them Messi and Ronaldo and things. So they figure that that's the standard. If you don't expose them, if they never see people playing at a higher level, they won't improve because they think they're there.
So to your knowledge now, moving forward in Trinidad, we have the interim committee in place. What's the next step? You say the former TD is owed significant money.
Yeah.
With the FIFA interim committee in place, how is, to your knowledge, I'm not sure if you can answer, but how will that eventually be resolved so we can have, I guess, another committee elected?
Okay. This is how that works. That committee will now focus on getting football in Trinidad on the up again.
Okay.
FIFA has installed them. So FIFA has confidence that they can send monies to them for the day-to-day operations now of the association.
Okay.
The committee will be expected to come up with ways of raising funds.
You understand? Plan also?
And managing all aspects of the association in a real competent way. You understand? So if they have to stay there 1 year and they get it done, they're gone.
Okay.
If it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
But when they leave, it will be in a state that anybody that's sensible could continue and run it properly.
I'm going to ask a question, probably provoke some laughter, but why always Trinidad? It always seems there's always an issue in Trinidad's football, be it the TDs, the coaches. We know that the Jack Warner affair, that was a whole different kettle of fish.
Okay.
But
this is my theory about that. You have Mr. Jack Warner, who as a Caribbean man made it as a vice president of FIFA. People may not understand, but that is a very serious feat. He wielded a lot of power, right? And therefore, that is the example that the people in Trinidad see in a football administrator. But times have changed. Times have changed, and they are still looking at football in that manner.
Okay.
You understand? So it is always a fight. Whoever is running the association, there's always a section of people who are on the opposition. And instead of helping, what they do is they badmouth the association and don't realize the badmouthing the football, the game.
Okay.
You understand? That's why we're finding it so hard in the Caribbean, really, to get the kind of support for football that we deserve.
Okay.
You understand? Because it's our behavior.
Jack has some... I was listening to an interview.
Yeah.
To get you to your attention earlier.
Yeah.
You probably would have heard it, the interview that Jack did recently. I think it was only this week.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. And he had some comments in relation to the CFU.
Yeah.
What's your reaction?
There's no reaction from me. Mm-hmm. One of the comments was that we didn't have a meeting for 8 years now. An annual general meeting. And the other one is that we have not done an audit for that period of time. That is so much of a joke. That is what I'm telling you about the change in football. Because FIFA is giving the CFU funds to run its youth programs, etc. And they've given us these funds, we have to account for the funds.
Yeah.
You understand?
I remember.
So if we are not operating a proper properly run organization, we ain't getting the money. FIFA ain't nothing to do with us.
I remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, there was a CFU meeting at the Hilton, I believe it was last year, where you were appealing to the MAs
yeah.
to get their house in order because the money is there,
yeah.
but you just can't access it unless we go through certain channels. Yeah.
yeah.
And the money has been there.
Yeah, but you see, Jack Warner still believes it's his time when anything goes. It ain't about integrity and that. That is all it is.
Okay.
Right? But we getting help. We need more help. And the help that we need is from our people. Because the footballers are very, very important in this society. We taking them off the street, giving them a name,
okay.
making them feel wanted, right? And they need to be helped. They need to be helped.
Since that period, Randy, you know, that the Caribbean Union would have come through all that same period around Jack Warner and all the upheaval.
Yeah.
Since then, has FIFA in a big way in terms of put a lot more measures in place to make sure that, you know, something like that doesn't happen again? Is it a lot more stringent now?
Of course. That is exactly what I'm saying. The BFA, our annual general meeting was supposed to be yesterday.
Mm.
Yes.
We had a local audit. Right? We had a local audit. Apart from that, FIFA is going to send its auditors here. Mm. To ensure that what we did in 2019 is what we agreed mutually. You understand?
Yeah.
So we have to be on our P's and Q's.
Speaking about the general election,
yes.
I would assume then as soon as we once again get the all clear for mass gatherings and whatnot from the ministries,
yeah.
the election would proceed as planned?
We have to have
the AGM, yeah.
the AGM as a matter of importance.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was asked the question, wasn't sure of the answer. At this stage, do we know who are any possible other candidates? I saw a few in the newspaper for the key positions.
Yeah, well, I don't remember all the candidates.
Okay.
But what I can say is that senior vice president, there are three candidates.
Okay.
Right? Other than that, I don't think for the senior positions that there is a fight.
Do you see that then as an endorsement of the your tenure?
Well, I would like to think so.
Okay.
But in my experience, I notice that sometimes that is not the case.
Okay.
You understand? I like to deal with the facts.
Yeah.
What is real. But I know that some of our people tend to make you feel comfortable while they have other thoughts. So
okay.
That is reality. That's life.
I was just reading the story, not jumping back, but we were just discussing the regional situation, the Pro League in Trinidad, the board of directors,
yeah.
they have unanimously accepted the decision by FIFA to establish the committee.
Yeah.
They've welcomed it.
But that is the only sensible thing to do. I think that FIFA, you see, the current executive, and it's a sad situation, you can't get away from that. The current executive think that it's FIFA is at them. Mm.
Yeah, that's coming over strong.
Yes, they think that FIFA favor David John Williams, who was the last president. You understand? It is not about them. Mm. They can't move anywhere without intervention. They cannot move because their accounts are frozen.
In terms now of moving forward, not just Trinidad, CFU. What's your major objective for the CFU? I don't want to say 2020 because 2020 is going to be a throwaway year.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Well,
where do you see the CFU going? What's the major step you would anticipate, let's say, over a 2-year cycle now for the CFU?
Okay, let us be realistic. The CFU was here fighting with senior tournaments. Senior men's tournaments
okay.
at the flagship tournament for years. CONCACAF, and I am happy that they made that decision, decided to introduce the CONCACAF Nations League.
Yes.
That gave all 41 members of CONCACAF an opportunity to play at least 4 internationals a year, at least, before not many of those member associations had the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, say Trinidad and Jamaica.
They can't even afford it.
Yeah.
You understand? So that has really helped us in a serious way, because it given us competition. In other words, Mexico could be playing against Montserrat in the Nations League, if you understand what I mean. So we in the CFU concentrate now on the junior competition. If you look at the FIFA youth competitions, they're under 15, under 17, and under 20, right? What we are trying to do is to give our younger players from under 13 opportunity to have competition. So we have under 14, which produces the players to play under 16 in the CONCACAF FIFA tournament. Mm-hmm. So we are concentrating on the younger, exposing our younger people to competition. And I just had a discussion with a number of coaches from the region, and these are coaches who do FIFA coaching courses and CONCACAF coaching courses. They're well trained, and they are happy to help with bringing a youth development program for all of our nations, and we will do it in different regions in the Caribbean for everybody, right? And I think that will be a great thing. And at the same time, we'll be trying to upgrade the coaching. It's very important. Very important, because if we don't have people that are trained to coach the game, anything can happen.
Yeah, right, as we've already taken that step with our Premier League, where you have to have a certain level of certification to move forward, which I think is applicable, because these are our best players moving into the national team, hopefully, and representing us at the top stage.
But yes, that is our Premier League, right? But I think it is even more important in our youth league, right, where the minds are now being shaped, and we really need to have more people getting involved and that are willing to train themselves to be able to, you know, bring up these youngsters in it. Our problem with football in Barbados is the lack of knowledge of the game, being able to make the right decision in the right position. And that's something that's come natural when you are trained properly.
I would endorse that. Whenever we have international coaches here, be it Premier League coaches, strictly international coaches who would have done national duties, mm-hmm. they always say talent-wise, we are okay.
Yeah,
we have the talent. It is what we are doing with it. Uh-huh. We have an issue. I have to give you a plug, a young man, whenever you are on the program, or set to go on the program, he always wants his question asked.
Yes.
When is the indoor football going to resume? I always forget. So, question posed. When is the indoor football? It was last held at the gymnasium. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I would just like to tell the young man that the BFA is there to encourage and develop all aspects of football.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that the BFA is not in a position to be able to control the regular football, beach soccer, futsal,
women's league,
and we cannot do everything. But what we will be willing to do is to work with any organized group that will be interested in developing that side of the game. And I can tell you now that we will help you. Any group that could organize beach soccer. Another group could organize the futsal, which is the indoor football. Mm-hmm. And we could get through like that. And the BFA would assist.
Okay.
You understand? But we don't have the wherewithal
and the resources
to handle everything.
Yeah.
Does it think we need to put our hand in the link to do the futsal?
it was really good.
Yeah, we will consider it.
Yeah. But whenever he sees me, when is the football? I said, I can't answer.
Ask
President Harris. I said, I'm afraid to remember.
But if you could get together with a group of serious people.
Okay.
And for and because they're going to be accountable to the BFA.
Yes.
Right? But we can help them. Right?
Yes.
It's just that we can't do everything ourselves.
When you were talking development at the CFU level short while ago, one of the questions I wanted to pose was in terms of what's the plan for, you know, the women's football over the last few years has been making some steps forward. Uh-huh. You know, how is CFU seeing it now?
Well, the truth is, in some countries, the women's football has improved quite a bit. I want to be frank and say in Barbados, it is a bit of a worry for the Football Association. And it seems that we have lost the numbers. Mm. You understand? And for the last couple of years, we have not been able to put on a real competitive women's tournament. A group of young ladies, I think most, if not all of them, represent the senior national team. They came and made a presentation to the BFA, and it made me think that we need to have somebody leading that aspect of football, somebody that has the passion for it, to really work with the young ladies to get it going. And we were waiting on the AGM, and then we would select, because as far as the statutes are concerned, we after each AGM, we have to form new committees.
Okay.
And I was looking at asking some very interested young ladies to be part of that committee.
Is it a situation where that development is missing at the school level?
That is the problem.
That's the problem.
You see, but I find that a lot of people still look at women's football in Barbados as it's not women's football, but football in general as a man thing, right? But I know that a lot of girls out there interested in playing football, but most of the time their parents and people who have influence on them don't see football as an avenue that young ladies should be taking. The opposite is that the women have opportunities to get more scholarships than the men.
I was about to say.
And the BFA, it's not well known.
BFA has sponsored a young lady at college that could not afford it, if you understand. But there are so many colleges in the United States now introducing women's soccer that the young ladies have a great opportunity of really getting an education. Even if they are not interested in taking their football to another level or pro level, mm-hmm. they can get an education.
Yeah, and for me that part is important. You want to play football,
yeah,
but come home in a position to better yourself,
exactly.
or stay
yeah.
and better yourself.
Yeah.
And as you said, a number of the colleges in particular have quotas they have to fill.
Yeah.
Where there is supposed to be, well, I guess that's been postponed now, an expo put on by, is it St. Leonard's Ball?
St. Leonard's.
Where these coaches are coming because they have quotas they have to fill, mm-hmm. and Barbadian players have not been capitalizing on it.
Yeah.
So there are some Trini players, some Jamaican players, mm-hmm. but a number of our players don't seem to realize the opportunities that are available in football.
Mm-hmm. And our youth players too are encouraged to do some butt work.
Yeah.
Because the difference between those who are successful academically, right, and those who are not, is that the ones that are successful academically, they do work. Mm. They do work.
Yeah.
You understand? They work hard.
Mm.
And they have support.
Yeah, that's key.
You understand? So we want the BFA youth program to be that support. If you understand what I mean.
Gotcha.
We got to encourage them. Right? Because although they may fail at a particular age, You know, sometimes people wake up.
Bob?
Well, I think that's the... Randy had the final word. We're all out of time. I think we really looked today, Randy, at a wide cross-section of development of football locally and all across the region. And, you know, despite the fact that the actual game has been silenced on the field, we can still talk football because at some point we're going to come back and we'll be kicking on the fields again. So thanks again, Randy, for joining us this evening. And we hope you can come back again soon to talk some more football.
Right. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. And I wish you all the best and be careful.
Thanks, Randy. Keep safe. Well, that's been our program for today. Of course, hopefully you can join us again next week as we bring the theme up on Penalty Spot and we talk local, regional, and international football. On behalf of the entire team, good evening.